Welcome to the Green Insider, powered by eRenewable. Each and every podcast, host Mike Niemer will bring you energy experts to help you better understand the renewable and sustainability space. Education's important to us because it's important to you, the listener. Now, here's Mike Niemer.
Welcome back to the Green Insider Podcast, powered by eRenewable. I'm your host, Ron Culver, and with me as always is Mike Niemer, CEO of eRenewable. On today's episode, we are joined by Richard Zadunkiewicz, co-founder and CEO of Distributed Energy Clearinghouse. But before we dive into their conversation, let's hear from Mike's better half, COO of eRenewable, Ann Niemer.
Ann Niemer here, COO of eRenewable. We know today whether you're a public company, private equity, or privately held company, ESG and sustainability are important to your company. At eRenewable, we can help you achieve some of those goals. If you have any questions or need any assistance with regards to reaching your sustainability goals, please visit us at eRenewable.com to learn more. As always, thank you for listening to The Green Insider, powered by eRenewable.
Thanks, Ann. And now here's Mike with the CEO of Distributed Energy Clearinghouse, Richard Zadunkiewicz.
Welcome to The Green Insider Podcast, powered by eRenewable. I am Mike Niemer, your host today. And today our guest is Mr. Richard Zadunkiewicz, co-founder and CEO of Distributed Energy Clearinghouse. Boy, that's a mouthful, isn't it, Richard?
It is. Good morning, Mike.
Good morning to you. Richard, being a first-timer on the show, welcome to the show. And we always like to start the show with you, the guest, telling the listeners a little bit about your storied career that led you up to Distributed Energy Clearinghouse.
Well, thanks, Mike. So I'm a native Texan, almost a native Houstonian, grew up about 25 miles from here. I started my career as a banker here in Houston in the 80s, and banking sort of tanked during that time. I ended up at an oil company, believe it or not, spent about 11 years at an oil company, and some of that time traveling around the world and living in Europe. I went to work for a little company called Enron in 1998, and that's when I got into the power and gas business.
Well, we are Enron alums then, but I was 89 to 95.
Okay. So the co-founder was at Enron during that time, Rick Holden. So I got into the power and the gas business at Enron, and went on to Sempra after Enron's failure. I started with a consulting firm here in Houston in 2006. We grew that company from a small regional consulting firm to a national consulting firm. I left there after about a dozen years and went to Wood Mackenzie, which is a global energy analytics and advisory firm. I spent nearly 2 years there, and I had this idea during the pandemic around distributed energy, because I'd been around this business before, and said, look, if we're going to really do what we need to do around the energy transition, we've got to have more transparency in the market around the complexity that is distributed energy, that is behind-the-meter generation and storage assets. So we have a very simple concept that's hard to assemble, but it's basically we want to give rapid answers to people who are not experts in distributed energy types of systems.
Well, with everything going on in the quest for many, many people trying to get to 100%, you know, up to 2050, which seems difficult to me that for us all to be able to get there, you surely are going to have a lot of business because everybody's got to be out there putting in storage somewhere, right?
Yeah, generation and storage. And look, every market's different. So if I'm in Texas, California, Pennsylvania, Illinois, New Jersey, you name it. The laws, the costs of these systems, who can develop that system for you, will help you implement it. The value stack, we call it in the industry, those things are entirely different. So even if you are a one site owner and you got a building in New Jersey, that building is complicated enough. But now if you're a multi-site, if you're a real estate developer, if you're in, you know, if you've got multiple sites and multiple what we call jurisdictions, they all look different in terms of the value proposition, what things cost, the revenue they produce, and what you have to do to actually make those things happen.
Well, So are you, is your plans already to be able to work in all 50 states, or are you starting out regionalized or only certain states in the beginning?
That's a great question, Mike. So today we are able to deliver our value proposition in Texas and in New York, and in the market we call PJM, the independent system operator called PJM, which is essentially from the transmission grid from Illinois all the way east into Maryland and Delaware. That includes Pennsylvania, New Jersey, Ohio.
Gotcha. And so obviously the areas you've named are in the deregulated areas. Do you see yourself expanding to the other 35 states in the regulated side to help those consumers there?
Absolutely. So we're actively developing our platform, and we're always going to be making improvements to our platform and our analytics to become easier to use, yet the complexity that it handles behind the scenes is a lot more robust. But we anticipate within the next 60 to 90 days, we're going to be able to service all markets, competitive and regulated, in the U.S.
So tell us who your customers are. Who are the customers that want to come to Distributed Energy Clearinghouse to see what you have to offer?
Sure. So I'll kind of differentiate between an in-use customer and our go-to-market strategy. So our go-to-market strategy is to start with energy brokers and consultants. So there are 6,500, if not more, energy brokers and consultants in the United States. And they help commercial, industrial, institutional customers to identify what the best terms are and secure a contract for their supply, short-term or long-term, whatever it is. They're also the trusted advisor on any and all matters related to energy. So when we were devising our plan, we said, well, how do we get rapid penetration? How do we spread the news about our amazing product and service? Well, let's do that through brokers initially, get that out there, prove concept, get scale up. And that's going to allow us to invest more in the business and make these tools even more user-friendly. So that's go-to-market strategy. In terms of customers, it's going to be people who want to get green, who understand that even if you're buying green power, you still have to worry about it getting to your facility, right? So transmission distribution is obviously you're getting it from the grid, from the utility. You manage your risk if you're getting it from behind a meter, okay? So the ideal customer is somebody that's using a considerable amount of power. They want to have reliability, want to be able to count on that reliability, and they want to manage their cost, because costs for power are going up for any number of reasons, but primarily because of transmission distribution costs, the investments that are going into those systems. To get an electron from the source of generation to your meter, those things are going up and have been trending up for a long time.
So your go-to-market strategy is similar to some smaller REPs that really don't have their own sales staff, but they go through a broker network to bring them customers.
That's correct.
Okay. So with that said, so are the customers that you're looking for going to bring you both a C&I customer that wants to put solar on site, wants to put a battery on site? I mean, is that the direction you're trying to go?
Yeah, absolutely. Now we'll do business directly with customers as appropriate, and to the extent that doesn't violate any agreement we have with any broker, because obviously they don't want us going through the back door for business. So initially we're gonna sell through brokers. We're gonna manage those relationships. We're gonna deliver on our commitments. We want the underlying product to be valuable to an end user.
So do you see your tool being valuable to the public entity space? You know, the schools, the states, the counties, the munis, nonprofit hospitals. Is your tool going to play into that market also?
Absolutely. So, and what we're finding is, I think anybody that's sort of in this industry, in this space, understands this, that the recent changes with the IRA allow the ITC to be realized, the value of the ITC to be realized by non-taxable entities. The interesting thing about these entities is they've all got great credit ratings. in relatively speaking, compared to a typical sort of C&I type of customer. So what does that mean? Well, that means that they've got better options for they've got in some cases they've got funds and liquidity to make this happen. If they want to let a third party be the developer and be the long-term provider of reliability or sustainability services, however that provider characterizes it, that represents less credit risk than perhaps a C&I, you know, kind of a mid-market C&I, mid-sized C&I company that doesn't have the balance sheet, doesn't have the resources that a public entity does.
That leads me to a thought here. So somebody comes to you, whether it's C&I or municipality, they come to you. They want to put in, they've got 5 acres of land. They want to put solar on that land, whether it's for a wastewater treatment plant, whatever it might be, right? And you do all the evaluation as to what it's going to take to do that efficiently and affordability, right? You're looking for affordability and efficiency. So with that said, are you telling them who to go to build it and service it and help them build it, or are you just telling them the strategy to employ, and then they go out to find the vendor?
Sure. So I'll back up a second.
Sure.
So we are not a consulting firm.
Okay.
We are a technology company building analytics into a platform that helps end users and their advisors understand their options, understand the combinations of technologies and their impacts. Impacts on what they pay for power, impacts on their emissions, and they get a certain level of support from us after they upload the data to our website. They get a set level of support per the agreement. What's going to come out of the back is configurations of technology, the economics or financial aspect or picture of those potential investments. They're also going to provide what we call a provider assessment. So here are, you know, 10 providers in this market. Here's how we scored them in a very objective way. And by the way, these providers are going to be asked for information continuously. They are, and they will be aware of our scoring system. So we're not arbitrarily creating a score or an assessment for a provider. We want a very objective means and transparency into how we come up with these scores for providers. But at the end of the day, we want to give concise information to the people who need to who are making decisions within these companies. And we want to give the brokers the tools to be able to have the conversations with their clients.
Gotcha. So you're making no recommendations, but if you've got a vetted list of people that can support the document you've just printed. Is that correct?
That's correct. And again, this is all about transparency.
Yeah, absolutely. So that makes perfect sense. And I would think for the public entities, that transparency is everything to them to help them stay compliant.
Absolutely. If there's one word that we love in our country, in our culture, it's information. And information leads to transparency. So I think there was a movie once upon a time that came out in the 70s. There was a statue on the campus, and at the foot of the statue it said, knowledge is good. We think knowledge is good.
Well, I think you're right, because I think what you're trying to develop or what you have developed and what you're trying to expand has a real place for the attempt for all of us to build a better future for our grandkids.
Absolutely.
So with that said, what is this, the price structure? How are you selling this to people? Is it subscription? Is it per item? Give us the layout.
Sure. So companies are going to have our subscribers, small and large. They have different needs. So we have a pricing strategy of flexibility. If you're small, then you're going to get obviously a lesser cost. If you're larger, you're altogether going to have a higher cost. We structure this as a subscription fee where they sign a license agreement, and then there is a per analytics charge that is assessed every time they undertake an analytics exercise.
Gotcha. So it's a subscription service. It evaluates the markets. You get transparency as to a wide variety of vendors that could help support the documentation you just provided them and the analytics. And it's going to be efficiently priced because of the knowledge that you have behind the automation that you've created.
That's correct. And I'm going to draw a contrast. So there are a lot of tools. Our listeners are probably somewhat knowledgeable about some of the tools out there. So there are tools and platforms, and some of this is software as a service. Much of it is. And they're very sophisticated, I'll call them high horsepower tools. That's not what we are going to create and have created. What we want is something that the majority of the market who is not educated on these sophisticated systems and equipment and would have a very difficult time using something that's very complex. We want to give them tools, and we want to get them, I'll use a golf analogy, we want to get them within the leather when they're getting on the green so they have an easy putt. We want to give them information so that they can first qualify whether or not this is something interesting, something real, something they should pursue, not try to give them the precise answer because that requires a lot more work and interaction. So we want to give them, again, good information to form the basis for where they go from there.
Well, as we've just entered 2024, we're now in the Q1 already. I mean, or starting the end of Q1 and entering March. What do you have coming up for Distributed Energy Clearinghouse? Any speaking engagements, conferences you're going to? Anything that what direction are you going to follow out, to close out the year here as you start in the year?
Sure. So we spend most of our time, if we're not in the in our development phase, spending time with our development team. We are engaging with brokers and developers. We've joined TEPA, which is the Energy Professionals Association, and that is primarily brokers and consultants. So again, that's our initial and primary focus is in that market segment. So we were at the Houston conference last week. Very interesting. A lot of great people. We'll be doing that in Dallas, and I believe we may be speaking. I'm not sure that's been confirmed yet, but we'll be attending the April TEPA conference. And there are a number of other conferences in the third quarter of this year, which we plan to attend.
Well, very good. Hopefully I run into you at one of them sooner or later. I know in March, the next one I have in March is the EMC 21 here in Houston for the retail energy space. So anyway, Richard, that's all I have. Thank you so much. It's a wealth of information.
Well, thank you very much, Mike. Enjoyed it.
Yeah, I enjoyed it too. Ladies and gentlemen, Mr. Richard Zdunkiewicz, co-founder and CEO of Distributed Energy Clearinghouse. Go to his website. What's your website?
DEClearinghouse.com.
Easy enough. DEClearinghouse.com. Everybody go take a look at it. See what Richard and his team has developed. If you got any questions, feel free to reach out to me, info@erenewable.com, and I can put you in contact with Richard. Thank you so much for listening to The Green Insider, powered by eRenewable. And as the old saying goes, you try to learn something new every day, and we were responsible for today's lesson. Thank you for joining us. Have a great day.
We'd like to thank Richard Zdunkiewicz for joining the podcast today, and we'd like to thank you all for listening. A brief reminder that if you're not yet subscribed to the Green Insider podcast, what are you waiting for? Become one today from wherever you receive your podcasts. And please, leave us a 5-star rating.